Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're asking you to bear with us. We're getting the program going on the road. Apparently, we're having lots of technical difficulties over here, which is par for the course. Shouldn't be surprised. The chat room should be open momentarily. Well, the way everything is moving, probably about a minute. We're getting everything going, shutting the old gal down because the old gal is just ready to be retired. And let me see. You know what? I'm going to do this by hand. I'm not even going to try anything else. Let me see. I'm going to the switchboard now. I'm sure I'll pick up the big dog in just a moment. And yes, I am picking in the big dog. And I am now opening the chat room. Good morning, big dog. How are you?
Good. I'm having problems over here with Blog Talk, too. So I guess that's just your area. I guess it's just Blog Talk as usual.
Oh, I would love to blame it, but no, I'm having computer issues. Maybe it's due to the rain. I don't know. But, hey, chat room is open. We're going and blowing. This old gal is just overwhelmed. I can't get it to open up Chrome. I can't get it to open up iTunes. Nothing.
Well, I'm having the same problem because I was having trouble getting into Blog Talk Radio by itself. So, and I don't know. Maybe it's a mutual thing because I couldn't get my sports websites open till just about a second ago.
Well, I do want to welcome Sunny this morning. I'm not going to sing the usual song that I have for him because we're just not going to do it. You know, because I don't want to this morning.
You could sing it a cappella.
No, he'll never talk to me again. Oh, is there something wrong with your crappy internet service? No, actually, my primary computer is just showing its age. That's all. We're all good in the hood. I had to shut her down right now. And I'm not reassured going into tax season about that, but we'll see. We'll see. But everything's good. Laptop's going and blowing. Hey, what else can be said? Big Dog, did you get my text message late last night?
I got your text message from a few minutes ago, and you're missing.
Yeah, but I sent to another one. Or maybe it was.
About you having a second phone line?
No. Okay, maybe I did it via Facebook. I don't know what it is. Yeah, I think I sent it via Facebook.
To me?
All right, doesn't matter. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, my thoughts and my prayers are with the traveling man. I want to go ahead and extend that to him right now. He's somewhat under the weather right now, and I'm hoping he makes a full and complete recovery. Traveling man, we missed you. I had to wake you up, but then Carol will beat me up, so I don't want to do that. So, hey, it's all good in the hood.
That's right. Don't mess with Carol.
Oh, the chief engineer. Okay, here we go. We're getting out. Yeah, all right, hold on. No acapellas.
No acapellas for me. That's okay. That's fine. As a traveling man, he's under the weather. He's just sick then. Not in the hospital, he's just not feeling well.
He's at home right now.
Let me ask you a question. Usually when older people get sick, they really have a hard time recovering. Is he that kind of, I don't see him as that kind of guy. Terry seems like a guy who's always up and around and moving around, and that will bring him down, but not for very long.
I am not authorized because on a person-to-person, as I know him, the old man would come over and kick my butt if I said what was going on. I'll tell you guys what's going on air. Everything is cool. He's just, he is under the weather, but, I mean, that's
I hope he's feeling better. I like the traveling man.
Yeah, and I guess the big dog didn't get the message. And,
I just got it.
I'm sorry?
I got it.
Okay. And, Sonny, I'm going to send you a message, and we're just going to drop this for now. I just Don't want to embarrass him. He would beat me up. I'm just saying he is in my thoughts and prayers. Everything is okay. Just
cool.
He has to go through it, and we'll see. So I just wanted to put it out there that we are thinking of you, old man, and I'm hoping to see him sometime in the middle of February. So we'll see.
Definitely. I'd like to see him back up on the road when he's about ready to kick off. He needs to get better soon because spring training starts. He needs to head to Arizona and give us some spring training reports from Arizona.
That's true. That's true. yeah, I expect him to.
Yeah, so.
Anyway.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, your mouth cannot drop right now, Sonny. I just sent it to you. So anyway, life's good in the hood. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, our thoughts and prayers are with the traveling man. And he's all good in the hood. So he is a stand-up kind of guy, no doubt about it. And when things are required, he is balls to the walls, no doubt about it. And wrong one. So anyway.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oops.
Yeah. A little bit of a difference, but that's okay. All right, cool. You're trying to do two things at once over there, scorekeeper. By the way, let me ask you a question. With the federal government not taking tax forms until July or January 31st, does that kind of slow you down in January, or does that just hopefully get you an opportunity to get started a little bit early with your clients?
I am on course as we speak. I usually get busy on the 31st, but I've already seen – counting myself, I've already seen about 5.
Got it. Mine are sitting in a server at H&R Block ready, because they won't accept them until January 31st now. So mine's sitting in a holding pattern over at H&R Block.
Oh, so you're done as well. Yeah, I'm sitting in a holding pattern as well, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting everything the first week.
I got to pay every year, so not that it's a big deal or anything, but when you own your own business, it's kind of one of those things. We got ours, and actually they actually sponsored our boys basketball team, the H&R Block that I go to, and they actually did the commercials. They're doing commercials, and they actually they're good people over there.
Yes, I was employed by H&R Block the very first 2 years. I did wonderful training there, and I have an affinity for that place. I will never, ever publicly rip it. Big dog, in all the years you've known me, right? Never, never, never you heard me say anything bad about it, have you?
Ooh,
big dog?
The silence.
Oh, here he is. Hold on. There he is. He's back.
there we go. Yeah, my call got dropped for whatever reason. I just called back in. You're right. You have never said a bad word about them, and it's been, what, 25 years, 26 years since you've been there?
1988, and then my last year was 1989. I was offered full-time employment by them as an 18-year-old. My God.
You own the place by now.
I probably could have with everything that I know, but I wasn't getting enough
hours.
At least
an area manager, and they make some bucks.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, I know, unfortunately. And it's probably I still say I have unfinished business at H&R Block. So, but that is neither here nor there, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good, as I say. I need to get me a cup of Joe, boys. So if you don't
mind,
you can hear my voice. Why don't you guys wrap for the moment, and I will be back in about 47 seconds.
You bet. No, not a problem, because I actually wanted to talk to the big dog about the Lakers and their big man, because, I mean, rumors are swirling big time down here in Dallas about grabbing up your guy. That doesn't seem – it just seems like his jigsaw puzzle is not meshing with what's going on over in L.A. Are you hearing the same things I'm hearing about Dwight Howard maybe possibly being traded to Dallas over there in L.A.?
Oh, my God. The rumors are swirling like crazy, especially here in L.A., you know, with the fact that you pretty much have four Hall of Famers on the same team, and they're, well, they did win yesterday, but at the time they were, what, six games under 500, you know, at the midway point of the season.
Yeah,
the rumors are swirling like crazy. You know, they're trying to blame D'Antoni. The blame is on Howard. And Howard, everybody's seen Howard from, I guess, the diva that he is. I mean, he's trying to do the passive-aggressive thing where, you know, he wants to take digs at the Lakers' offense and the Lakers or Kobe, but yet doesn't want to seem like a bad guy, you know. But some of the crap that he was pulling, like last week, where he only took like six shots in one of the losses earlier this week. And when they were complaining, he wouldn't come out outright and complain, but whenever reporters or whatever were asking him questions, he had the stat sheet in his hand and was holding his stat sheet out looking, and all his answers would be, look at the stat sheet. All your answers are in the stat sheet. You know, and then he comes out saying, oh, we have all this negative energy, you know, that's all got to stop and stuff. You know, you've got to look at himself too, you know. But,
D'Antoni is in a lose-lose situation over there in L.A. I mean, because it's going to be his fault, even though we all know you got a bunch of egos running around on that basketball team that no one's going to be able to handle whatsoever. So when that ends up happening, it just creates, you know, that just goes to show the Lakers are in a state of havoc. And they've never, not even in their history, they've never been in a situation that they're looking at right now. Because even if and when they were bad, they weren't so bad to where they couldn't at least break 500 or at least play as a team or put a good product out on the court at certain times.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They're in total disarray right now. It's clicking. I mean, you have DePaul, who has never, I mean, in his entire career, I think even back in Spain and in high school or whatever they did over there, I mean, he's never come off the bench. And now he's coming off the bench now because, you know, he can't get, D'Antoni can't figure out a way to work the two guys in at the same time. Now, you have 2 7-footers. I mean, how can you not get a Twin Towers thing going? I mean, other coaches have been able to do it. I don't know why. And D'Antoni can't work it where, you know, that you get both guys in at the same time. I mean, that's what helped the Lakers win those two titles, you know, in 2009 and 2010, was having that 7-foot lineup, you know, because no one could match against 2 7-footers in at the same time. And D'Antoni has gotten away from that. But the trade bait is out there. Of course, his two choices, they say, are Dallas and, of course, New Jersey. Still longs for New York. First of all, we need to get Jim Buss out of the equation. He's the problem. But Jim Buss, the managing general manager, I guess is what he would. He's like Kupchak's boss. It's Jerry Buss's son. But he comes in, he's more like a surfer type guy that, from everything that I've read and I've heard, only comes in, you know, once or twice a week into the office, you know, but yet he's in charge of everything. You know, if Jerry Buss, you know, is in his 80s now, so, you know, he's really pushing the power to the kids. Now, Jeannie Buss is doing an excellent job on the financial side of the Lakers. As I'll talk about it later, they came in now under Forbes. They're worth now $1 billion. Just came in earlier this week on the Forbes sports teams are worth. You know, the Lakers broke the $1 billion mark. But on the player side of it, Jim Buss is kind of haphazard about it. But Kupchak needs to sit down with Dwight. And even though Dwight won't give a definite yes, I'm staying or whatever, you can kind of get a feel for whether he's coming or going. I mean, we all knew he was leaving Orlando. I'm pretty sure Kupchak's been around long enough that he can get the feel whether he's going to stay or not. If he feels that he's not going to stay, I mean, we need to trade him by the trade deadline or do something because, you know, as we all know, he can walk at the end of the season and we get nothing for him. So, And there's plenty of players out there that we can get. I'm not sure if Dallas would be the right type of players that we would need or if Cuban would be willing to give up those type of players. But the one place I know he will not go, because I know the Lakers will not do this, is the Clippers are also on that short list that he wants to go to. And I don't see the Lakers giving the Clippers another component, as powerful as they are this year, giving them pretty much the keys to the kingdom if they trade Dwight down the hall. And I don't ever see that happening.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear a lot, and I've been listening locally, and they were talking about Tyson Chandler. They were talking about other things as far as, does it fit? Will it fit here in Dallas? And here's what I say. You can't get any worse than what you are if you're the Dallas Mavericks out on the court, so why not? You're right. There's a lot of prospects involved with it. And by the way, just to let you know, the D-League is a developmental league for the NBA, but they're really, even though they're affiliated, they are really separate entities. Their thinking is not necessarily what is best for the Dallas Mavericks. Their thinking is what's best for the Texas Legend. So at least as far as Dallas is concerned, I don't know about the other D-League affiliates, the guys that they have down in there, the Texas Legends may not, as far as an organization of themselves, might not make that change and try to get some, younger prospects, younger talent on that team to see if they can develop them, So that's another thing. So I just learned that yesterday. So I just thought I'd bring that as far as Dallas. Like I said, as far as Dallas is concerned, I don't know about other teams in the D-League.
Yeah, the Lakers have their affiliate. They're called the Defenders, and they do play here. They're more of a kind of a cultivating farm system for the Lakers. That's the way they're looking at it, because a lot of the guys that are at the end of the bench for the Lakers, go down to the D-League to get their time in, and then they come up back and forth. But they're meeting like a holding pattern for the Lakers for, like, say, next year. There's a couple of guys on the team, on the D-League, that are looking to make the main roster next year. And that's what the Lakers have them down there so they can get, their feet wet, so to speak. So the Lakers do it a little bit different. And like you said, I don't know about the other D-League teams either. I only sort of follow the Defenders. But, it's a great system, all around. It's great that you get, these kids. As much as I hate to say kids because it makes me sound so old. But these kids.
You are.
Yeah, you're in the same boat as me, as is scorekeeper.
We're getting old. Hey, it's time to face facts. When gravity takes over, you're getting old.
Okay. All right, I suppose I'm good with that.
There's a lot going on there, but, we'll see. The Lakers right now, I'm hoping I still say we'll make the playoffs. It's going to be a low seed, unfortunately. Because, as I said, half the season's already gone. And, if they can play like they played yesterday against the Utah Jazz, that was an excellent game. It was an all-around game where everybody chipped in. But, as I said, before, one game is not a streak make, and sending as one loss is not a streak make. But the Lakers have been getting a lot more losses than they have wins. So I'm hoping that they see the light after playing yesterday's game. But, of course, their next game, of course, is against Oklahoma City on Sunday in a nationally televised game. So I don't know. I'm not expecting to win, but I am hoping that they show a unity and a team concept. So they can maybe go forward from there.
Let me ask you a question, Big Doug. It's interesting that you made the statement you're expecting to win. What has given you the feeling that the Lakers are going to beat Oklahoma State or Oklahoma City? You're talking about two totally different teams going in one direction and the other going in the other. They've almost doubled the amount of wins that the L.A. Lakers have to this point of the season. What makes you feel so confident as you go into that game tomorrow that the Lakers are going to beat the Thunder?
I'm sorry, I guess I wasn't clear. No, I'm not expecting to win. I'm not expecting them to win this one.
Okay. Okay.
I have no misgivings on this one. And yes.
Okay.
I was wondering
if you've seen something that I haven't been able to see, because you get to see them every day. All I get are the highlights, and sometimes the highlights doesn't show the reason why a team could be turning it around. So that's the reason why I asked.
Yeah. No. No. You're absolutely right. I mean, Oklahoma City is right now the cream of the crop for the West, along with the Clips and San Antonio. Those are your top three teams. The Lakers are floundering. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I kept holding out hope that these guys would turn it around, and for whatever reason, they're not clicking, whether it's Dwight, the system, a combination of everything, which I think is what it is, a combination of everything. And, of course, losses, especially mounting losses, magnify everything. You know, if the Lakers go on a 5 or 7-game winning streak, so much is going to change. I mean, you've seen that in all sports. That you covered, you know, a winning streak cures so many ills, and the same way as a losing streak just magnifies everything.
Well, a winning streak is the adrenaline shot that you get. That's what happens, especially in basketball. As a matter of fact, probably more so in basketball than any other sport in reality. A winning streak in basketball is so much different because sometimes they play the next day, but they're usually playing within 3 days of each other, so you can ride the momentum if you can build it. And that's the difference. You got to figure out how to build that momentum in order to get that winning streak, and then if you can continue with the momentum as it keeps going on. So it's interesting. I'll tell you that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Coffee's in the chat room, and he says that we should take over. Roger would be small forward. I'd be the power forward. You'd be the center, and Coffee would be the point guard. And he said we would dominate.
I just roll over on everybody because I'm so big. I'm as big as a rock. So a big old boulder.
Sonny, you are the penultimate defender then. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to actually take a moment. I refer to this book from time to time, and I have to give credit where credit is due. The big dog has seen the book on my desk. It is called Baseball Gold, Money Nuggets from Our National Pastime. It's an awesome book. The foreword is by Brooks Robinson. I do refer to it from time to time, but I want to give a shout-out to the author, Dan Schlossberg, ladies and gentlemen. You should check it out. If you want to purchase the books, I think it would be great. I think it's awesome. And by the way, if you haven't noticed, Dan Schlossberg is on NDB Media on Thursday at 5 p.m. on the flagship channel doing the Travelist radio show.
Wow.
Yes, and by the way, I made that connection about 2 months ago. I know he's written many a novel, but I've been referring to his book for over a year, and I'm like, oh my God, it's the same one!
Well, that is cool.
He actually has another book coming out very, very soon, so we're going to talk to him about it. It's another baseball book. It's with some of the umpires. I mean, my God, if I ever had an insight in to interview one, I mean, he's on
there
that.
You go.
Oh,
by the way, I listened to what's the girls' show, the girls' baseball show that you have?
The girl. Oh, my God, if she heard that, she'd come and kick your butt out, too. Tanya Mercado.
No, not her. No, she just had Pearlman on your channel the other day. I wanted to let you know she did a good job with Pearlman.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's Tanya Oh, Taryn Cooper, Gal for All Seasons. Guys.
Yeah, that's it, Gal for All Seasons, yes.
Yes. Taryn Cooper, otherwise known as Coop. There's another, NDB Media, and I'm going to say this carefully, is riddled with stars.
Well, she did a good job with Pearlman. Pearlman is a hard interview. And I say that because he's so unconventional. He's not necessarily, you know, and evidently she's interviewed him before, so she's got a good handle on him. He's a hard interview because he, if you ask him a question that he thinks is dumb, he will make sure that he gives you an answer to make you look even dumber than the question. So he's he's a hard interview if you're not ready for him. So I've had him on my show as well when he wrote the book Sweetness, which, by the way, folks, you got
oh, yeah.
Sweetness is a great book. It is one of the best books I've ever read as far as sports are concerned, because it's not just about Walter Payton, although it's a great, you get a really good, you know, you get a window to what his life was all about, but you also get a great history lesson on the Chicago Bears. I mean, you know, folks don't even know George Halas played for the Yankees. I even let you know that, but, you know, that's what you can learn in that book, so check out that one too.
And I appreciate that, Sonny, and that's why we did have to give him a shout-out. Yes, she did have a wonderful interview. If you guys have a chance, it's on this channel on the archives. It is good stuff. Taryn Cooper is huge on the East Coast, and her opinions, she'll tell it the way it is. And I remember she was the one that was asking me, "Well, Raj, what happens if a swear word slips out?" Well, Taryn, if it slips out, it slips out. Don't worry, the FCC.
I don't think slip has anything to do with it.
You're so funny. She's right. You're right. Yeah, it's great. And you know, she really doesn't swear, but it all kidding aside, it does slip out every now and then. She's great. Taryn
yeah.
Cooper, of course, is on this channel every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Eastern. And as I mentioned, Dan Schlossberg is also. And, you know, he's on the flagship channel at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And, of course, we have Maggie Reese, another published author, who's on Saturdays at 6 p.m. every other on the third Saturday of the month. But she's been ill for a little while. She had surgery recently. So our thoughts are also with her as well. As you know, she suffers from bipolar, and she's got it bad, but she's fighting it, and she's an author, and she helps out other people, and it's great having her on NDB Media as well. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and continue. I want to thank them. We have many a star, including the Couch Potato, and we have guest stars, including Tim McLeod and Mr. Coffee himself was in the chat room, and
King of the keyboard.
I'm going to tell you. Yes?
King of the keyboard.
Yes, the king of the keyboard, yeah. And I want to quote another author who's kind of somewhat come up on staff with us. That's D.A. Roberts. He's already joined us three times. He's a lot of fun, man. He's our zombie guy. He's going to have his second novel out soon, so we're going to be interviewing him. But, he says that some people suffer from rectal glaucoma. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So anyway, how cold is it for Big Dog, how cold is it for Tim McLeod this morning?
Well, he says today it's only minus 26.
Crap.
Yeah, exactly. But he says it beats the other day when it hit minus 56 with the wind chill.
Crikeys, it's cold. How does anybody live up there? You can't even eat any of those chips. They're so frozen, you might break a tooth.
That's what I asked him. I said, when it gets that cold, you just not go outside? I mean, how can you even survive out there?
Yeah, that's just flat out unbelievable. Flat out unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen. That's cold. That's as cold as a witch is. Yeah, anyway.
He says, no, you work outside. He goes, and you warm up plenty.
Yeah, but doesn't hypothermia set in and you start perspiring?
Yeah, my gosh, when does it start? Nowadays, they're coming out with coats with batteries in them that they're automatic warmers, so that's probably what they sell a lot up in Canada.
You know, you're being so honest, Sonny, but now we get to talk about guys that have batteries in their jacket. Oh, my Lord. I thought we already did the porn program.
No. That's why he said guys. Now, you said the word girls with batteries in their jackets. That'd be a whole different story.
Oh, touche, big dog, touche. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking some Lakers early this morning. I know we're going to get back to them. There is a lot of stuff going on in sports. Of course, this Sunday is the beginning of Super Bowl week in the NFL by having the All-Star game. I mean, guys, in theory, it's beautiful. What? It really is. I'm sorry.
What? What's happening tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do
you mean
Sunday.
The Pro Bowl?
Shut up. Hey, Sonny, when's the Pro Bowl? It's next week, right?
No, it's today.
No, the Pro Bowl's this week. It's tomorrow, I think, as a matter of fact.
The Super Bowl is next week.
Super
right.
Bowl is next week.
Yes, the Pro Bowl is this week. It's part of Super
yeah,
Bowl
tomorrow.
Week.
Yeah, I know, but you call it the All-Star game. It's, I believe it's baseball or basketball.
So Super Bowl week is on its way, ladies and gentlemen, and some people really think, you know, in theory, as I was saying, having this game on before the Super Bowl is nice in theory, having a great week for Super Bowl, but I just think that it really, really takes away from the Super Bowl game. It should be after, as it always has been, only because there's always a chance for a player to get hurt prior to this, and I don't know if you have any opinions on it. Big Dog, do you care about them having the All-Star game before the Super Bowl?
The Pro Bowl, I believe, should be after the Super Bowl because for the most part, 90 to 95% of the Pro Bowl, the Super Bowl participants are not going to play in the Pro Bowl because there is a chance of getting injured. I mean, it's nothing to tweak an ankle or even worse, break an arm, tear up an ACL. Before the big game. And for the most part also, usually the guys going to the Super Bowl are your all-star, your quarterbacks, your potential MVPs. I mean, Flacco, I'm pretty sure, was given a Pro Bowl bid so he could go. He's not going to go. I mean, he's not going to take the chance of someone kicking a hard sack, cracking a rib or something, and then not being able to play the Super Bowl. I mean, it's an injustice to the fans. It should go back to being after the Super Bowl so then everybody can participate.
Mr. Clark, go ahead.
Well, here's my problem with it. Andrew Luck has taken Tom Brady's place in the Pro Bowl, okay? And here's the thing. There's no word on what the real quote-unquote injury to Tom Brady is, but Tom Brady, you know, here's the thing. The Pro Bowl, first of all, the fact that it's being played this week, I think you're absolutely right. I think it takes away from the real Pro Bowlers because there's Pro Bowlers and the teams that are playing next Sunday. And, you know, I think if I'm interested in the Pro Bowl, I want to see the real guys that won the spots. That's what I say. But then you get a Tom Brady. Now, I'll tell you, I think, you know, the Patriots have ticked me off to a point to where now Tom Brady isn't releasing the reason why he's been injured, but he's bowing out because of injury. I would have more respect for Tom Brady if he's not injured and said, listen, I just don't want to play in the damn thing. And I think that's what the case is, you know. So I don't know why that they feel like they need to make excuses. They're the Patriots. They do whatever they want anyway, usually. So, you know, they won't come out and say what the nature of Brady's injury is. However, Andrew Luck's in there. But I agree with you. I think the Pro Bowl needs to go to the week after the NFL. However, this year I think it's a great thing, and I'll tell you the reason why. You know, at least for 3 hours, we don't have to listen to how great Ray Lewis is.
Well, Coffee had breaking news. He has the reason why Brady is not playing. He says Brady's injuries are a bruised ego and sand in his vagina.
That might be it.
What the hell?
That might be it. I don't know if it's ego more so than the guy's just thoroughly PO'd. You know, and he's just mad that they didn't make – I mean, yeah, and it's partially his fault. I mean, I watched the game. A lot of people watch that football game, and he wasn't spot on Tom Brady that he normally is.
That is true. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I wanted to bring – I'm glad you brought that up also about the Patriots – Belichick, what the hell is up with him that he does not give interviews when they lose? I mean, Come on, everybody's the gracious loser, or supposed to be anyway. It's professional sports. Everybody loses. No one's, you know, undefeated all the time. And it seems that every time they have a big loss in a big game, Belichick just refuses to talk to anybody, and he has yet to talk to anybody since they lost that game. I mean, he just kind of...
No, actually, I think... Hasn't he actually talked to someone as of late, though? I can understand why he doesn't want to talk about it on game day. The guy's got so much money, he'll take the fine, say hell with it. And that's the part about Belichick I like, because he actually shows that he's the kind of guy that wears his emotion on his sleeves, without question. I mean, when the guy's PO'd, you can just take one look at him and go, oh, geez, you don't want to talk to Bill today. It's one of those, and that's why I like him. I mean, he brings the human element back into the game. I hate the fact that the NFL thinks that people are not allowed to get upset or be angry about something. Or how about this? I just don't want to freaking talk about it. I just got my ass handed to me in the AFC Championship game, and I'm not a very happy camper right now, and I'm not going to be. I would love to be able to hear that kind of answer from these guys. But the NFL doesn't let these guys be that way. And I think that kind of takes away from them a little bit as well.
Well,
Sonny, it's interesting to me that you say that. I just think that sports writers, they have, you know, remember, these rules are in place because the NFL needs to get word out to all the sports people. And the sports people know that the players are pissed off, the coaches are pissed off, and the sports writers are going to be their usual selves. Stupid! And ask, hey, so what were you thinking when it was 4th and 49 with about 2 seconds left in the second quarter? Coach, what was going through your thought process at that point? I mean, Sonny, I'm no expert, but I'm going to look at the guy and I'm going to tell him, if you don't know the answer to that, son, you know, oh, wait a minute, that's right, you're a sports writer. You must work for Bleacher Report.
Well, here's one thing. Hey, those coaches' rants when they're talking to the media don't get a lot of hits for nothing, okay? People love them.
And that is true.
Yes. People love to hear a rant, and sometimes they get egged into the rant, which is always good for media. It's great sound bites. I mean, you know, how about, Ditka, here's your IQ zero. Your IQ zero, buddy. I love it. I mean, that's the kind of raw emotion I like to see. However, I wish they wouldn't have to be egged into it. I just wish they'd just go off and lose it instead of egged into it. But take away from that, I mean, Belichick is, I think Belichick's great. I mean, the guy hates everybody, which is wonderful, because I'm kind of the same way. I'm not a big fan of a lot of people, let alone having some, skinny reporter in there just driving you crazy, and you're answering the same question with the same politically correct answer. Oh, we're playing a great team next week. I would love to hear a coach go walk up there and say, we are going to kick their ass all over the football field. But you're not getting it. We live in the day of politically correct. You got to be careful with what you say. I got an experience about that yesterday. But you've got to be careful with what you say, because you don't know who you're going to quote-unquote offend, And that kind of takes away from the game a little bit in my eyes.
Yeah, it takes a lot away from it, but... It is funny, guys. Every time we hear that there was a breakdown by a coach or a player, what's the first thing we do? We turn into the mothership and/or we turn into YouTube. And it's always,
yep.
Have you seen it? And it's true, Sonny. As a sports writer, I mean, well, all right, I'm not going to say as a sports writer, but as a shop steward, being able to antagonize my opponent.
Yeah.
There is no greater joy. And being able to get away with it, there is no greater joy.
Yep. I mean, walking up to a podium after you just got your ass handed to you, how you feel? Well, how do you think I feel, you idiot? Of course, they'd use different language. I mean, how do you think I feel? We just got our butts beat. I'm not going to lose graciously. Kiss my ass. That's what people want to see. They love raw emotion. And I would And I'm one of them. But I'm all about brute honesty. I like that kind of stuff because you get a real insight to the player. But the NFL doesn't let you get an opportunity to see that, or supposedly get an opportunity to see that, because then they start handing out those stupid fines that they want to pay their legal bills with. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah. And I guess final thought on that is, we are going to look up the top 10 stupidest questions asked by the media prior to the Super Bowl. Tim wonders where we can find them. I'm looking. And, of course, Tim does say, he says, these days you slip up and it's plastered all over Twitter in 2 seconds. That is so true, ladies and gentlemen, so true. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing very well. We're already 40 minutes in. Couch Potato, are you following us today?
Am I following what?
Are you following us today?
Yeah. I haven't set up the show. I haven't talked to Cuervo yet. I'll say he's probably working. So what I'll say is it depends on how we're doing. If we need more time, we'll pop into our show. If not, it's not a really big sports week, and we probably won't do anything. But we might have a show tomorrow. It just all depends on how busy Cuervo is going to be.
I understand and I appreciate that. But ladies and gentlemen, it has now become a big sports week because the man, the myth, the one who is Matt Alvarez is in the chat room. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our resident wrestling maniac, our resident wrestling expert, analyst, anything you want to say, that is Matt Alvarez.
Yeah.
And, yes, ready for the Rumble tomorrow. I think Matt will have some news on that. But, you guys, you're missing a good program on Friday. It is just great, I got to tell you. Matt, he's excited. His numbers are just out the door. But he made a mistake and decided to compare himself to the big dogs. I said, Matt, you are doing incredibly well, but we're doing incredibly well-er. Remember, Big Dog, remember in 2011 when I was like, how the hell is Matt outdoing us? Oh, my God. And it would stick in my craw for weeks on end. And it was like, it didn't matter what we pulled. Matt always pulled one more. Oh, I couldn't believe it. But now with the being featured on Blog Talk Radio, I mean, Matt's audience has, quintupled. Ours has well, but ours is quintupled by 5 and factor of 2 and, infinity 8 and all that stuff, so it's okay. But Matt, dude, you see the numbers, dude, and they're great. So I'm very happy as well. And it's great. It's a lot of good stuff. We're very happy here, so. I just want to give Matt some love. You guys are missing out. Every Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, it just doesn't get much better than that. So it's good stuff. So, Sonny, how's the Monday and Friday program going on?
Well, I didn't make it on Friday because I had an incident at the school that I had to handle it. But since the break started, we've been on every week. I've been on all the shows. Take away from that, it's been good, and I get an opportunity to start the week out with sports and end it with sports, and then of course go into the weekend. So that's kind of cool as far as sports and the NDB Media Sports Channel is concerned.
Wow, Mr. Clark, I do appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Sports Talk with the guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and as always, we rattle you awake, and then the Couch Potato and Cuervo bring it home, baby. Nothing like it on Saturday morning. 4 hours of sports. Doesn't get anywhere else. Doesn't get any better. And it's right here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm not sure if you guys have heard, but Blog Talk Radio is going to be making some changes. Very, very soon. And I'm looking forward to seeing what are the changes that are going to be taking place very soon. So we'll see.
It'll be interesting if they actually do what they say they're going to do and it actually works.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Sorry about that. I understand.
Yeah, I do apologize. Yeah, but love them or hate them, You know what? We haven't left for a reason, so it's real good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and move on. I know the big dog has some news. I covered the two big stories. Well, we all covered the big stories. We want to welcome our guests in the chat room. We have quite a few, of course, Coffee, Laker fan Matt Alvarez, Cats Potato, and, of course, Tim McLeod, and we have several other guests. Guys, register at blogtalkradio.com. Go ahead and take on a persona and be someone and engage us in the interactive chat room. That didn't sound good, huh, big dog? It wasn't there, was it?
No, it was pretty good. That was good. You haven't done that in a while. But, of course, we do have breaking, maybe not quite breaking tennis news, but the women's Australian final was played at 3 o'clock this morning, Pacific time. And as we got on the air, Victoria Azarenka beat Lina for the title, so she retains her number one standing. She won 4-6, 6-4, 6-3. And it was interesting down there because they actually had to take a break because there were fireworks going on. I was thinking AJ, you know, had his little firebug thing going, and they actually had to stop for about 10, 15 minutes as fireworks were shooting overhead from an Australian Day celebration. So it was a lot of interesting things in yesterday, and actually this morning's women's hockey final.
Well, all righty then, big dog. Do appreciate that. Big news. No doubt about it. Interrupted by a bunch of fireworks. Hey, guys, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean, you know, Ricky Martin must have been going wild. You know, she bangs, and all that other stuff. So, yeah, fireworks. No, Tim, we did not mention the big news that just Mr. Upton went from Arizona over to Atlanta. So,
To join his brother.
Yeah, to join his brother, that's right. That's why I stopped. Wait a minute, one already went there. So the brother's there. And, yeah, it's a brave new world, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be like Little League all over again.
Yeah, it was a big trade, too. It was a 7-player deal. So All-Star Martin Prado went to the Diamondbacks along with, let me see, where am I at? The Braves, so the Braves also get third baseman Chris Johnson and giving up three top pitching prospects, Randall Delgado and three minor leaguers. The minor leaguers are Zeke Spruill, shortstop Nick Ahmed, and first baseman Brandon Drury.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it remains to see if they are prospects or suspects, as we've learned. Although, I forget when I first heard that years ago. They're not prospects, they're suspects. And then, of course, what's the difference? Are they pretenders or contenders? And it's really good stuff. Ooh, just saw an ugly spider in here. Well, it is a garage. And I think it's all me because it's walking away. Wow. Oh, jeez.
Go get me an action.
Yeah, I've got to bring
it. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That delay is kind of messing things up. I'm sorry. Just to let you know, I am going to have a show on afterwards. Cuervo is at work, but I am going to do a show. I'm going to do, and we're going to have a show tomorrow. I actually had set up the replay for Rowlett Boys Basketball that we cover here. We're covering the boys basketball team. I was putting up a doubleheader for tomorrow, but Cuervo is available tomorrow, not today, so we switched it. At 10 o'clock, you'll hear Rowlett Eagles boys basketball here on the Couch Potato Sports Show.
Wow, good stuff there, Sonny.
I do want to interject something. I was watching the Mothership. They were showing top 10 highlights, and I immediately thought of you, Sonny, because I was wondering, I wonder if he was actually calling this game. There was a girls' basketball game on. I don't know if it was either yesterday or during the week. But the girl hit a half-court game-winning shot, you know, for the win. And as the crowd, as the team, you know, went to the center and they were congratulating the girl, the announcer was just screaming to the top of his lungs, "Oh, you didn't know? You better call somebody." And I'm like, "Is that couch?"
That's funny. I didn't see that. I gotta take a look at that.
Well, the one that I thought was really interesting was, I don't know if you guys saw it, but yesterday at the halftime between the Heat and whoever they beat yesterday, there was a guy, a 50-year-old gentleman that, you know, won the chance to hit a half-court shot, you know, to win some money. The guy threw a hook shot from half-court and swished it for $75,000.
Wow.
And of course, not only the guy jumping up and down going crazy. Well, surprisingly, and this really surprised me, LeBron James saw the shot, ran out onto the court, and jumps the guy, and they're just hugging on the ground, rolling up and down. And LeBron was, you could tell he was really, really happy that this guy won his money. And of course, you know, the guy's a diehard Heat fan, so of course, when LeBron comes out, it'd be like me having Magic or Kareem come out and congratulate me. I mean, I'm pretty sure the guy thought, you know, wasn't just great. Now I have, you know, the superstar, you know, jumping up and down with me. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jumping up and down with what's-his-face. Yeah, you're right, Big Dog. That must have been a major moment.
Well, if Darlene would have hit the shot and had LeBron James jump all over, she would be so ecstatic, it would be unbelievable.
Darlene, let me see. No, she's not in this morning.
Not yet.
No, or maybe they're in. I don't know. Maybe they're busy. I don't know, so we'll see. See, what does the Metaverse say? That's what I'm worried about on February 3rd, who will sing and all that for the halftime show in the Super Bowl. The lips. Thinking will be impressive. I guess everyone is talking about what happened on Monday for the presidential inauguration. That it was Beyonce, right? Turned out that she was lip syncing.
No, actually, I think Beyonce is doing the halftime show this year.
Yes, but she was at the presidential inauguration, and apparently, she was lip syncing.
Okay. I guess.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you right now, last year's Super Bowl with Madonna, I don't care what anybody says, that had to be one of the better ones out of them all. And I'm not the big Madonna fan, but she put on a pretty darn good show.
Yeah. They haven't had a really good one. I mean, for me, it's been about 10 years. When they had Aerosmith and with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake, when they did that collaboration, I thought that was the best one that's been around for a long, long time. When The Who was on there a couple of years ago, I dreaded it. I love The Who, but, man, they can't sing anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously signed the contract on name recognition only. And someone said, The Who? Yeah, exactly, The Who. Yeah, so Tim McCloud says, it was Beyonce. I wonder if Matt Kemp was listening. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you remember, I always said Beyonce is banging out more hits than ever Matt Kemp was. There's no doubt about it. Fake or otherwise, Beyonce is doing a much better job. Tim says Paul McCartney was good.
Yeah, McCartney was good.
Yeah. He's old.
They're all old, Sonny.
I know, they're all old. I was just sitting there thinking my favorite band is really old, so, you know, there you go. So,
and
they're all over the hill.
You can't just say that. You got to tell us the band.
Oh, Kool & the Gang. I've seen Kool & the Gang in concert 34
times.
Are they
still alive?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
well, they're losing members, you know. It seems like at least the originals anyway. But yeah.
Wow, I didn't even know they were still alive. But all right, Sonny, good for you, pal. I think that's
great. Yeah, I thought one year in '97, I followed them on my vacation. I had a 2-week vacation, and I followed them to casino in California and Nevada. So it was kind
of
fun. So I did that.
And because
and
of
I
you?
Actually,
yes,
huh?
Because of you, Sonny, they turned a profit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm
Sonny,
bigger
yes,
than life.
Sonny.
I'm bigger than the ticket sales. No, but I know the band.
You were a groupie, huh, Sonny?
Well, I know the band. I know Ronald Bell's son. His name is Hakeem. I know him very well. And then I decided to follow him one year. I know one of the trombone players. And as a matter of fact, I was on a plane with him. And ever since I was sitting pretty much next to one of my favorite band members, I've kept in contact with him for a long time, Clifford Adams, a trombone player for Kool & the Gang. And, yes, if you say Sonny Clark, they would know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's code for groupie, Big Dog. And Tim says, if we can reminisce about all them halftime shows, we have to be old. And, that's code for us to move on, ladies and gentlemen, most definitely. Big Dog, what else do you have for us there, lad?
Well, an interesting story here is free agent pitcher Carl Pavano recently suffered a ruptured spleen and was sidelined for 6 to 8 weeks. And what happened was, because Pavano, who's 37, was injured when he slipped and fell while shoveling snow in his driveway at his home in Vermont. exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. But he stole $40 million Yankee dollars, so that's okay.
Okay, well, Pavano, of course, has been with the Twins since mid-2009. he did not pitch a game after June 1st of last season due to right shoulder injury. He went 2-5 with a 6.00 ERA in just 11 games.
I'm sorry.
And also one shocking one. If Pedro Martinez was signed by the Boston Red Sox this Thursday, did you hear about that, scorekeeper?
Yes, I believe he's going to be a special advisor, Big Dog. Is that true?
Yeah. He will be a special assistant to the general manager. He will perform. He's going to be also with Jason Veritek. They're both in that special assistant capacity. And he said that he wants to spend a lot of time to develop players and collaborating with the team brass. Because in particular, Martinez will spend time mentoring young pitchers. And he says, quote, I love to teach. I love to deal with the players. He says, I have a very good relationship with the players, and I'm also fun. I like to have fun, and I think they need a little bit of that in the clubhouse.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is lesson number one from Pedro Martinez, and I can see that. Okay, boys. Okay, you come here, boys. No, no, no. Usted está bien. Okay, you come here. This is what you do. This is lesson number one. When you're in a game and you see Baldy coming at you, you grab him by the head and you throw him to the ground. And if you've got pinstripes, that's double the point. Okay? That's what you do, boys. And you just say, hello to my little friend. They'll understand because you're always trying to overcompensate anyway. So just remember, Baldy, get him with the head, with your hands, and throw him to the ground. That's lesson number one.
Tim, I'd almost believe that if I was listening to it, not knowing who I was listening to.
I really thought that was a lot funnier, but apparently not. So you guys can go to hell.
I found it hilarious.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is... When management throws money at you, don't be stupid. Only get mad at them when they don't throw money at you. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three is when the hoes show up, remember, make sure to have your homie with you to screen them. And number four is, hey, are you surprised I can count? Yeah, me made lots of money in the major leagues. So, yeah, we'll get to the lessons later, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hell.
I have no love for Pedro Martinez. But,
no,
ladies and gentlemen, when that guy was on, that guy was one of the best pitchers in recent memory. That guy was good. And,
those are the guys you hate the most?
Yes, yes. And Tim in the chat room put this before he heard me. He said, when the batter's crowd he plate, you toss him an inside fastball at 95. That's right. That was lesson number eight, or maybe lesson number nine because it's 95. You got to keep the numbers simple for him. And Tim says that he's actually one of the last pitchers that actually owned the plate, and that's what I mean. when that guy was on, that guy was on. And yes, Timmy, he did. He owned both sides. And if there was anyone that thought otherwise, he'd buzz him inside with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But lesson number 10, remember, let your team defend you when you throw inside because you're a pussy deep down. Okay. I thought that was funny, but apparently not. I didn't get anything out of that one. Go ahead, Big Dog. He's with Boston. All right. Good for him. He's going to actually help out the pitchers by being aggressive, showing them to be aggressive. Look, let me tell you. I was talking about lesson number 9. Lesson number 10 is be very, very friendly with David Ortiz. So if he can impart that arrogance, that aggressiveness with pitchers, that is a good thing for baseball pitchers, guys. Because nowadays, pitchers don't have the balls because management's cutting them off at the knees anyway. So if he can, you've got to be aggressive and throw inside. The plate is yours.
I still don't understand. I mean, I get it, I understand, but I don't understand why that's such a big, huge deal. You crowd in the plate, then all of a sudden you get a ball wheeling towards your head.
Sonny, because many pitchers have an innate fear of hitting batters. And when you crowd the plate, you put pressure on them and trying to hit a little zone. By crowding the plate, you're literally right on top of it. It is what it is. It's supposed to put pressure on. But let me tell you, my job was to hit batters when I was in high school. No one crowded the plate on me, Sonny.
Are you trying, and maybe it's me, but are you trying to tell me that the reason why they own the quote-unquote the inside of the plate is because they don't want to hit batters? Are you trying to feed that to me? Or are you sure it's not an ego thing that says, you don't crowd my plate, that's my plate? It's more of an ego, more so than them wanting to hit somebody?
Well, no, Sonny. I may have lost the question there, but for the longest time in baseball, it's always been believed that if you're a right-handed batter or a lefty, whatever, the inside part of the plate is because that's where you're closer to. That's the batters. It's always been, that's where the batter lives and dies. And the pitcher has always lived on the outside. That's like the pitcher's part. It's your inner and outer defensive zones. The inner zone for the batter is his, and the outer zone generally belongs to the pitcher. And in the 1980s, there was a hitting coach, a well-known hitting coach named Walt Reniac, that had the philosophy. He says, well, look, the inside part of the plate is yours. You know the pitcher's going to live out there, so what you need to do is you need to stride out there and get it. The inside's yours, so you go and attack the outside. And if you remember the White Sox hitters starting the trend of being on their back leg and diving out over the plate because they were going for the outside because they were being trained to go after the outside pitch. And, pitchers were like, well, what the hell are you doing, stupid? I'm going to buzz you in. And the batters were getting aggressive, saying, hey, that's my part of the plate. You get out of there. Can you believe this stupid arrogance? Can you believe that? So that's when the beanball things really started up in the early 1980s. And then Major League started getting involved when batters were getting hit. And they said, well, pitchers can, hit them, if it's intentional. It's like, a bunch of pussies. So anyway.
Okay. All right, very good. I'm just glad that you weren't trying to sell me that wasn't a big ego thing. So I'm glad you weren't trying to sell it.
Sonny, if a guy is going to crowd the plate against me, he does so at his peril. He will be hit on the elbow. He will be buzzed up and in. And look, if that guy is stupid enough to crowd the plate against me, I will hit him. There's no doubt about it.
Why? I'm still trying. I got to get into the mentality of a pitcher and the mind. That's I almost don't know what to say about that. It just seems to me. I mean, oh, that's my spot. I mean, that's an ego thing more than anything.
Oh no, Sonny, no. I really don't care if it's left or right. I just, if the guy's gonna try to crowd me, I'm gonna hit him. That's all there is to it.
Why?
What is that?
I mean, you're not the only one. There are many. That's not the first time I ever heard that from a pitcher. Me coming from a third baseman, so I don't understand the fascination. Well, if you get too close to my plate, I'm gonna bonk you with the ball. I'm missing that.
Sonny, and Tim just said it, which I forgot to mention. When you crowd the plate, it has to go with what I was talking about, where they're diving out to the outside part of the plate. If you're crowding the plate, Sonny, you have a better chance of getting the outside part of the home plate. So that's why it does give them a huge advantage, because they're that much closer to the outside. So they're basically crowding the entire plate. So you back them off. And as I'm saying, if they're stupid enough to be that far in, I'll nail them. You want it, you know, you want a crowd? Go ahead. It's going to hurt you, pal. And that's just the way it is, Sonny.
So you're not necessarily aiming for him then, right, is what you're saying. You're not necessarily aiming to hit him on purpose. You're throwing an inside pitch, and if you happen to be in the way, you get hit. Is that what you're saying?
That is a very nice way of putting it, Sonny. Yes. If he happens to get hit. He was crowding the plate. Come on. You know, it's just the way it is. Is it legal? Of course you can do it. But, you know, like I say, you know, hey, if he's going to be dumb enough to crowd it, we'll be dumb enough to nail him. So it is. And speaking of dumb enough to nail him, I want to bring him in. I know Castillo's going to get pissed, but he was smart enough to put it here. I'm going to play up to him right now because he told someone to F off, and he's now my hero, at least for the day. So,
oh, you didn't know?
It's not Cuervo.
Your ass better call somebody!
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I ask for forgiveness. I know that it's Cuervo's intro and it's sacred because he is the man, but I had to bring it in right now because he sent me a text message yesterday telling me that he told someone to F off, and I just loved it. Just loved it. I won't bring any other details into it unless he wants to, but he is the man! Bri Tarvino!
What's up, guys? What's up?
How you doing, Bri?
Oh, doing good. About to have to step in for a quick appointment, but I wanted to call in and chime in on this pitcher's mentality Sonny's asking about. Man, that plate belongs to a pitcher, Sonny, and that the ego, the way it is with pitchers, that's their plate. If you're crowding it, you're affecting the strike zone. You're trying to get an advantage. So, no, I don't try to throw inside. I try to nail them in the head, back,
front,
wherever I can hurt them to make them wake up, because brushing them back, hitting them in the elbow is not the way to do it. So a lot of batters will not crowd a plate on a pitcher that can throw hard. It's usually the pitchers that nibble, you know, at the corners and everything,
yeah.
And they're trying to get up there to make sure they get their pitch. But me as a batter, too, I did not crowd the plate on someone that could kill me with one pitch.
Yeah, and
that's why I said, Sonny, if they're dumb enough to crowd the plate, and I thank you, Brian, for announcing it. You heard what I said, right? You get across the plate, I'm nailing them. There was no question about it.
Yep, I mean, that's your plate. I mean, you're cheating. You're trying to take away my strike zone or my pitch, and you're trying to get an advantage. So, okay, if you get hit in the head, or really I don't try to aim for the head because they have a helmet, but it does scare them when you throw it at their head, though, for some reason. But I always like the rib cage. Somewhere in the rib cage is like where I like to throw.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one. How they get scared, I don't know why.
Not sure why. Maybe it's me, but I always think if you're a good enough pitcher, you don't have to worry about how close the crowd in the plate. That's the way I kind of looked at it.
Well, Sonny, here's the thing. It's all about changing speed. If you're really a successful pitcher, it's keeping the batter off balance. So, Sonny, number one, you don't want to get them comfortable. The joke is in Bull Durham. Remember when he started to pitch well? He hit the moose.
Yep.
The whole
yep.
the joke behind that.
I wouldn't dig in there if I were you.
That's right.
Well, because you get a hitter thinking and you get them a little scared, they're not going to be able to concentrate and focus because their only thought is, where's this pitch? Is it going to hit me? So you know, 50% of the hitters are really afraid of the ball when it comes to that. So, I mean, that Bull Durham movie hit it right on. You know, you have to hit the bull sometimes just to get in their heads and to pitch your game. So, Sonny, I know that's your favorite movie as well.
Oh, it's my all-time favorite sports movie that's out there. Absolutely. I'll watch Bull Durham 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah, it's great. My wife loves that movie. And if you haven't seen it, Matt, you don't have to ask for your mama's permission anymore. I believe it's on Netflix, so it's okay. If you got Netflix, sign up for like a month for free, dude, and you can stream it over the internet. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. Bull Durham is great. Although I love The Replacement with Canal Reeves in the football game. I like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. The Replacement is good.
But you Major know, League's right up there at the top, you know, where Rick Vaughn knocks the head off the dummy when he's pitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one is funny. And I think we have to do something about the movies one of these days, maybe during the week. Talk about the all-time movies. Yeah. You know, there's probably a lot more baseball movies, but there are a lot of football movies and other sports. You know, Rudy, you know. So I don't see. Let's see. Shut up, Roger. I don't need permission. Really? Oh, so you don't have parental controls on your TV? Okay, fair enough. All right. That's
hey, guys, I'm
going
to have to step away, but I'm going to call back in just in a few minutes. Sonny, are you doing a show as well today?
Well, I'm doing a show, but it's not normal talk. I'm going to do a doubleheader of Rowlett Eagles boys basketball, and then we're going to do a show tomorrow because Cuervo's working today.
Oh, so right, Sonny, do you want to program it on my channel then?
No. I'm doing the doubleheader of basketball today. I just switched it.
Oh, okay, 10-4, got it. All right, so, yeah. Brian, take care of what you got to get done, and maybe you'll get back something up. Oh, he's gone. Damn it.
Okay.
I still released him of his obligations. Big Dog, you're having a great time in the chat room. What's going on? Gentlemen?
He might be on mute. He might be on mute.
Well, he's playing with Matt in the chat room, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, Matt and I are talking about tomorrow's big pay-per-view. It's the second biggest pay-per-view of the year other than WrestleMania. It's the Royal Rumble from the WWE, and we're just going back and forth on that. As you know, because Matt, of course, is the wrestling professor, I guess you could say.
Yeah, right now TNA is beating them out, I think, as far as quality of the show.
That is true. That is true. I mean, the WWE, their writing is so bad right now. It's pathetic. But at least if you go to see TNA, you'll actually see some wrestling.
Yeah. And Taz turning into a bad guy, like it.
Yeah. Oh my! Did you actually watch that when he broke up the whole wedding fiasco? Story?
Yeah, that was great. That was great. It was so unexpected. It was perfect. That's why I'm saying Sting is definitely turning. There's something building and there's something brewing and they're doing it right. I think Sting becomes a member. I really do.
Actually,
it's got to be big. It's got to be blockbuster. And it can't be just Taz, although Taz was pretty cool. It's got to be huge. It's got to be Hogan or Sting, one of the two that are going to turn and go to the Aces and be a big part of it. That's what has to happen in order for it to gain those type of ratings in order to take the viewers away from the WWE. That's what has to happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking Hogan because, unfortunately, from what I've been reading, Hogan wants to get back in the ring again.
Hogan can't get back in the ring. Hell, his back is so jacked. It's unbelievable. That guy can't even walk down to the ring, never mind wrestle in it. Man, that would be ugly.
Yeah, that would be ugly. I don't know if you read it or Matt probably knows about it, but Hogan is suing the spinal, he had his spinal surgery a few years back for $50 million because he said that, he said the surgery was unnecessary, or they did unnecessary procedures that did not improve his back, and that he missed out on a big payday because I guess when he was in the WWE at the time in 2009, that they were going to have some big thing between him and Cena. And he said that that would have been like a $50 million payoff. And that's why he's suing the spinal place for that. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, every time anybody has a surgery, you sign that release form that says, you know, the release form is saying, you know, this may not bring you back 100%. We'll try and do what we can, but no guarantees. And you sign that waiver, you know, everybody's got to sign it. Otherwise, they don't do the surgery. So I don't know where he has a leg to stand on that, but. The other thing is ridiculous to think that he would have earned $50 million. I mean, wrestling doesn't do payouts like that anymore. I mean, it would have been a few million dollars for sure, but I don't see a $50 million payoff with against Cena.
Well, here's the money. What's that boxer? Money Floyd Mayweather. They paid him $30 million.
Yeah.
They paid him $30 million bucks for a WrestleMania. $30 million to beat up the Big Show. I mean, hell, I mean, so I don't know if Hogan would have got that much, but here's one thing I do know about Hogan. He is suing everybody, suing the people where he got taped in that dirty movie, or not necessarily movie, but it became, you know, internet movie and everything. He's just suing everybody now. So it's kind of interesting. By the way, I have his home address if you need it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got Brooks. I got Brooks' home address too.
Woo! Sonny Clark, you are the hardest working man in sports.
That he is.
Yeah.
He has a very impressive Rolodex.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are listening, I am posting a picture. I have already uploaded it, but I just don't think it's there yet. Me as a freshman. Oh, Sonny, you went back to mute without me even trying, but you're back, right?
No, there was a little electrical thing into the phone, and it kicked off.
Oh, wow. That was pretty crazy. I saw it go to mute. I'm like, no. You cannot get away. Yeah.
Tim's leaving.
I know. Tim, enjoy your day, pal. I hope you're doing very, very well and stay warm over there. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, I put up the picture, so it's going to take a while to get to Facebook. That is the picture that will show up is me as a freshman. So, disgustingly enough. Yeah. Well, it's not up there yet because I've been checking and checking. It's just not there.
No picture here, huh?
I'll show you one of mine, too. Since you're doing that, I'll put mine up.
I thought he was going to tell me, I'll show you mine if I show you yours.
You are awful, dude.
Well, you were going to say it, and you cut yourself.
You got to love it.
Oh, yeah. I
didn't even catch myself. I wasn't even going that route.
Yeah.
But you forget who you're dealing with, though. You know.
I know. I thought I was bad. He's 10 times worse.
That's right. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, all right. We're down about over 4 minutes. Go ahead, Big Dog. Where else are we going?
Actually, I had a question. If you thought, you know Tonya pretty well, if you think she would be happy with this, as you all know or maybe didn't know, the New York Mets are the only team that have not signed a free agent yet. Well, they finally did. They went out and they had all that money to spend, and who did they get? Sean Markham. he agreed to a 1-year deal contingent on passing his physical. Of course, Markham is 31. He went 7-4 with a 3.70 ERA in 21 starts last season for the Brewers. Oh, your feelings on this one, scorekeeper?
Oh, my goodness. The Mets fans are now celebrating a world championship, ladies and gentlemen. Life is good in the hood, I've got to tell you.
So you know what's even funnier is this part, because this was written, it was a New York newspaper. I forgot which newspaper it was, but I love this one line. They said that Sean Markham would fill the void left after Cy Young Award winner R.A. Dickey was traded. So evidently Markham, I guess they're saying, is as good as Dickey.
Yeah, that's wow. Good luck, boys. Congratulations, the Mets are on their way. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo! And one last bit of it for me, which is we're in New York. We'll stay with New York and go with the other team. As now there are little whispers and rumors now saying that maybe A-Rod will not even play next year. Brian Cashman is saying that he still feels that they're on track for A-Rod to come back just after the All-Star break. Of course, he is 37, so they're talking about it, saying, you know, once you get in there, once you get all the surgery, it depends on how your rehab goes. They do expect him back, but they're now seem to be a lot of whispers and such saying he may not come back this year. Scorekeeper, anything you've heard?
$26 million.
No, if he doesn't come back, good for him. Let him sit down. And who's he with? Is it Minka Kelly that he's with?
No, A-Rod is with.
Oh, he's with a wrestler.
Yeah, Troy Wilson.
Yeah, you know, I have no sympathy for him. It's okay. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Minka Kelly was with Jeter until they broke up.
That's right. What, did they break up already? Like, I care.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, someone has a chance at her now.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. All right, well, that's cool, big dog.
All righty. That's it for baseball for me. I don't know if you have more of baseball.
No, I'm sure I would have had Tim here, but Tim left, so I don't have anything. I was honest. I'm just pissed the photo hasn't shown yet. Come on.
I'm trying to find mine somewhere in my computer.
Okay, well, fair enough. Yeah, it's just not on there yet. It's probably because I am on the phone and it's not allowing me to update right now, because I'm really surprised, because I'm on the network. It should still go through. It normally does. It pisses people off that I can text and message and do all this stuff while I'm on the phone when I'm at home. And it's like, it's just a Wi-Fi connection, people. It's not my fault you live in the dark ages. So, whatever. All right, Big Dog, where else are we going?
Well, we could go to baseball. I mean, excuse me, basketball.
Let's do that. Piss off coffee. That would be great.
All right. Well, of course, two big things. Well, a few of them, actually. But the Maloofs are selling their majority stake in the Kings, and it looks like the Kings will be relocating to Seattle, and the Seattle Supersonics will be once again a team. And this will happen next season. They were the new owners will be moving to Seattle during the off season, and they're going to be putting in a relocation, filing the paperwork for a relocation by the March 1st deadline. Of course, this is a group led by hedge fund manager Chris Hansen, and unbelievably, I mean, the Kings suck, and the Kings have sucked for a few years now, guys, but yet they still sold at $525 million. That is the biggest sale of an NBA team so far. Unbelievable. Not only that, it is only a 65% stake in the company for that $525 million.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Pink Dog, do you have anything else on this story? Because I'm going to tell you, there's some news on that story. Did you know?
Well, Kevin Johnson, Mayor Kevin Johnson, of course, the former Phoenix Sun, who is mayor of Sacramento, is not going away very quietly. He is still fighting to keep the team in Sacramento. But the thing is, the Maloofs, the sale has already been agreed upon between the Maloofs and the Hansen group. So it is within his rights to move the team if they file the relocation paperwork. I'm not sure what the lease is with the city of Sacramento, but if I remember correctly, there is no lease at the moment. They are doing it year to year because of the new arena that has not yet been built. And that was one of the agreements last year, that they would go one more year in Sacramento and then see what happens. So if I'm not mistaken, there is no lease after the end of the season. They will be, in essence, a free agent team, if you want to break it down that much. But Kevin Johnson is not taking this quietly. He's doing everything he can to keep the team in Sacramento. I'm not sure what you have on that. What do you have?
Well, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, late yesterday, there's been some news that Ron Burkle, the super rich guy, is stepping into the ring, and he's posted the question. And apparently, he is in. Is the deal really done for them to be bought out? And that's the question, because it looks like Ron Burkle not only has an inside track, it looks like he's going to do everything he can to keep this team in Sacramento. But it's what I heard. I did not hear the entire story. But hey, there you go. Ron Burkle, the rich man, he's going to try to make a serious thing to keep this team in California. As you know, Ron Burkle is that shopping magnet. You know, he owns all these different stores. Oh, my God! Saul Walters is in the chat room! And you never know if Ron Burkle may actually have an effect on this deal. I don't know if you'd heard that, Big Dog.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. I'm trying to look it up.
Okay, well, that's what I asked, so...
It could be. I mean, that could be, but the Maloofs, this was as of, I believe it was Thursday, so this would have been the day before yesterday. No, it was actually last Sunday that the NBA Kings were formally notified Sunday night that the Kings have been valued at $525 million, and the Maloofs and a group led by hedge fund manager Chris Hansen had executed a purchase and sale agreement. So that was as of last Sunday. So the paperwork's already there, and it's already been sent off to the NBA, and the NBA confirmed this through the statement Monday morning. So they've already reached an agreement. They signed the paperwork. So what Mr. Burko has in this case, so I'm not sure. I don't know if they can break the agreement since it's already been agreed upon. I believe there's already, I don't know if I put it in my article or not, but I believe there was a $35 million deposit given to the Maloofs already by the Hansen hedge fund, or the Hansen group. So they've already given like a down payment on the team. So they're pretty much, as far as I can tell, that would be, to me, lock, stock, and it's theirs. As long as they agree on it.
Sonny, have you ever financed a car at a car dealership?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, could you imagine when the new owners from Seattle walked into the dealership and they said, "Hey, we'll put a $35 million deposit," and the guy handling the sales said, "Well, is this going to be cash or credit?" No, credit. Okay, let's run your credit. I'm just curious, how does that work?
I don't know. I'm not sure how they figure that out. I have to admit, I'm not up to speed when it comes to that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. But think about that. He says, "Okay, well, let's see. Are you guys credit worthy?"
Something like that, yeah.
Well, maybe not if they had to put a $35 million deposit. Oh, well, no, that's not even 10%, huh, Big Dog? Not even 10%.
No, but it is a substantial amount, though, and it's non-refundable. So that's the funny part too. I think it's not refundable. Back out.
Well, wait a minute, Big Dog. If the purchase agreement has been executed,
yes,
the deal is done, and of course the deposit is not refundable. If they try to get out of it, that's why it's not refundable.
Yeah. So I mean,
but if something turns, but I think if something does run away, run or go sideways, I guess you can say, on that whole situation, I'm sure that would be it would be returned. I think.
Yeah, and it would, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's some contingencies in the contract that, that specify all that, you know, how to get the money back. I'm pretty sure those, you know, those lawyers, I mean, they have a battery of lawyers each side to make sure all the words are put in there. And as a scorekeeper can attest to this, you know, one little word can make a big difference. Is that not right, scorekeeper?
Oh, hell yeah. The difference between shall and will. Oh, my God, in contract language, shall and will? You know, the rest of us are like, yeah, what's the point? Well, when it comes to legal stuff, one says you will and the other one says that you have to, and I forget which one it is right now. I have to pull out my labor dictionary, but I believe shall means that, yeah, it has to be done, and will says, well, we'll get to it. So, yeah. One word, man. One word.
Well, Saul put a comment saying that he'll cover the 35 mil.
Okay. That's cool. Well, then I'll have to provide the memo, ladies and gentlemen, because it looks like that on-again, off-again deal for my Lincoln Town Car is on again. I can't believe it. I put pictures of it months ago saying the newest addition to the NDB Media fleet. I should have done that because then they said, well, that's how much we want. I'm like, oh, hell no. I thought you were family. At that price, freaking capos, you're mafioso. So apparently the deal is back on, but I'm still not going to take pictures of it yet. Yes, an executive Lincoln Town Car is finally going to be in the Noriega fleet. Thank God. I've been wanting that car for ages, huh, big dog?
Yes, you have.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's the car I took to Vegas back in September. Oh, God, it was beautiful. It's an eight banger, Sonny. And, of course, someone I was talking to on the phone said, but isn't it gas guzzler? Oh, my Lord. Yeah, whatever. I guess Sonny did not find that funny.
Well, on to the next thing is Forbes put out their list of most valued teams in the NBA. And we have a new number one champion. The Lakers have been champs for the last 2 or 3 years, and they were knocked down to number two as the Knicks. Had a 41% change over the last year, and the Knicks are now valued at $1.1 billion. The Lakers come in right behind them. The Lakers are now valued at $1 billion. That is a 11% increase. The rest of the list, I'll give you just the top 10. The Bulls are third at $800 million. The Celtics are fourth at $730 million. The Dallas Mavericks are fifth at $685 million. The Heat are sixth at $625 million. The Rockets, this surprised me, are seventh at $568 million. The Warriors are eighth at $555 million. The Nets come in ninth at $530 million. And the Spurs round out the top 10 worth a valued $527 million.
Wow. Isn't it amazing, the values? Apparently, so the basketball teams are finally moving up in value, huh, big dog?
Yeah. You know, and there's a big disparity between it doesn't sound like much until you actually look at it, but, I mean, the Lakers at a billion and the Bulls at 800, I mean, that's a $200 million difference. That is a significant amount. The Knicks, of course, the reason why, of course, they had the resurgence last year, and, of course, the upgrades to Madison Square Garden and the how well they're doing this year, I think, helped them immensely. You know, with the 41% 1 year change, I mean, that's just incredible. The Knicks are always up there, and now that they're winning, of course, you know, brings in a little bit more money. But you know, two teams now worth at you know $1 billion or more. Of course, they don't come near, of course, to your Yankees, of course. But you know,
that's right.
I think $1 billion for an NBA team is nothing to sneeze at, though.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm getting a cold. What was that thing called?
Whatever. And, of course, next year, Sonny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, here you go. I wanted your input on this one. Because next year, of course, as you know, Like I said, Sacramento is going to be moving to Seattle, but there will be another new team that's renamed. It'll bring fear into everybody who goes into that place because, you know, when the Lakers go in to New Orleans, they'll be facing the Pelicans.
Pelicans.
The what?
That's one of those, you know, that's almost like you're going to go play the Lakers at Hello Kitty Arena, you know?
So next year they're going to change their name, of course, from the New Orleans Hornets to the New Orleans Pelicans. They're also changing their colors. Let me see if I have their colors here. Maybe I don't. Here we go. The new color scheme will be blue, gold, and red, which is, of course, different from their teal, purple, gold, and white of their Hornets uniforms. And the reason why, of course, is the owner, Tom Benson, who owns the Saints, also New Orleans Saints. He says that Hornets have no history, I guess, in New Orleans, and that the reason why he picked the Pelicans is because the Pelican is a state bird. But, I mean, I don't, you know, if I was going to be a player, I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, play for the Lakers, the South of the Heat, you know, some the Knicks. And they go, oh, well, you got drafted by the Pelicans. You're like, oh, great.
It's something, I mean, we're laughing about it for a reason, because simple fact of the matter is it does not, you know, shoot out a lot of fear in a lot of people. Not that names mean anything. It's usually about the players, but come on. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I think that's just it. Come on. Really?
Scorekeeper?
Pelicans, wow. You know, there's a lot to be said for a name. I mean, Jaguars, come on. I mean, even that's dangerous. But a Pelican? The hell's a Pelican? He's going to steal your ice cream when you're not paying attention. That's what a Pelican is.
That's right.
And, yes, I've had a damn Pelican do that to me, so I don't care.
Have a hard time getting over that?
Yeah, Sonny. It happened on my birthday back in 2003. I was over down in Long Beach, and I guess I wasn't paying attention, and that rat bastard came in and he took my ice cream.
That's one, and it was one of the good kinds. It wasn't just vanilla. It was, you know, cookies and cream, right?
It was a good flavor, Sonny, but I was distracted for obvious reasons, and I'll just leave it at that, yeah. And then Saul then says, Pelicans are vicious. Wow.
Yeah. I will say that they posted the logo yesterday. The logo is nice. I mean, they're trying to make the Pelican look mean, but, you know. It's a decent logo. It's better than the Brooklyn Nets logo. I will say that. But still, the fact that they're the Pelicans, I mean, everybody on the internet and everybody on all the sports channels are just having a field day with the name the Pelicans. I mean, it's funny.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There were so many other things. I mean, I know the Utah Jazz, who used to be, of course, being New Orleans, so you have the Jazz. But you could have called them, I don't know, the Horns, I don't know, something. Who knows? I mean, something better than a Pelican. But anyways, on the my last bit of NBA news, of course, the NBA All-Star team has been picked, and I'll go ahead and go over everyone that made the team. On the East, it, of course, will be LeBron James making his 9th appearance, Carmelo Anthony at the other forward making his 6th, Dwayne Wade at one guard making his 9th appearance, Rajon Rondo at the other guard making his 4th appearance, and Kevin Garnett at forward making his 15th appearance. As you know, in the voting this year, they took the center away, the center vote. There was no centers to be voted on. Yes, there was only, you voted for 3 forwards and 2 guards this year. Now, of course,
say it ain't so, big dog.
Yes, they said because the NBA is ever evolving, is what they officially said, that the center is pretty much a lost art in the NBA nowadays, that most centers are actually larger power forwards. So they did away with it, saying there are no – and if you think about it, there really was only 3 or 4 main centers in the league. I mean, you know, after Dwight Bynum, who's hurt, Gasol, Powell's brother, Mark Gasol, and maybe a handful of a couple of others, That's about it for centers. So they did away with the center in the All-Star game. So there's three forwards now. The reserves, lots of first-year players, which is great. Kyrie Irving making his first appearance. Jrue Holiday making his first appearance. Tyson Chandler making his first appearance in his 16th season with the NBA. But finally got picked to the All-Star game. Jakeem Noah making his first appearance. Lou Alden making his second. Paul George making his first appearance, and Chris Bosh making his eighth. In the Western Conference, at the guards, is Kobe Bryant making his 15th appearance, and Chris Paul making his sixth. At the forwards, you have Dwight Howard, who, of course, is a center, but as I said, they don't have it. So Dwight Howard making his seventh appearance, Blake Griffin making his third straight appearance, and Kevin Durant making his fourth appearance. So you pretty much have four Los Angeles guys and one OKC guy. The reserves are Russell Westbrook making his third appearance, James Harden getting the nod for having such a great season so far in Houston, making his first appearance. Tim Duncan makes it in, making his 14th appearance, along with Tony Parker making his fifth. Mr. Aldridge from Portland making his second appearance, David Lee making his second appearance, and Zach Randolph rounding it out for the West, making their second appearance. Of course, the All-Star game is, I believe, February 17th. I'm not quite sure on the date, so don't hold that one to me. But those are your All-Star teams on the East and the West.
Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen.
I still want to see Carmelo Anthony and Garnett go at it.
Well, they
want to see it. Yeah, now they're on the same team. It's going to be, I want to see it. Call me sadist.
You know, it'd be funny, Dwayne Wade tries to throw out the olive branch and say, you know what, Kevin, my wife does taste like Honey Nut Cheerios. But Kevin, Kevin Garnett has always been known as a punk. I mean, he's always stepped over the line. I mean, he says a little much, if you remember a couple of years ago, Sonny, I remember that one guy, I believe he was from either Cleveland or Indiana, that had that skin disorder, and Kevin Garnett told him he looked like a cancer patient. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
Kevin just goes overboard. You know, he takes it a little too much. The trash talking, but no one should be surprised. I mean, he's doing it at least 17 years. Nothing new.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I found it. Damn. Maybe I should
leave. Corky, where do you want us to go now?
Wherever you want to go, big dog.
Well, we can make coffee happy and talk about hockey, or we could go to the Super Bowl.
Whatever you want to do.
You're running the show. You're the scorekeeper.
And I'm giving it to you.
You're Palpatine. You're El Jefe.
Said we are going where you want to take us. By definition, I have already said what to do.
So you're giving me the helm?
Big dog, take where you want to
go. All right, guys. As we all know, next week will be the Super Bowl, and we can get our predictions in, Ravens or Niners. It's going to be a great game. I mean, offense versus defense. I was very happy that the Ravens made it in. I'm not a Pats fan. I'm not that big of a Ravens fan. So I kind of just sat there and enjoyed the game. It was a great game. The Niners, on the other hand, played a really good game. Sonny, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, were you surprised the Niners made it in or the Ravens? Did it go as you expected, or was one of them a surprise team?
Well, it was a surprise that the Ravens won. I don't know if it was more of a surprise more than you take it, all the history, I guess, and stuff like that. You all know how I feel about Ray Lewis as it is. I mean, so you get the Ray Lewis factor, and now, I was hoping that they would win, but maybe Ray Lewis would keep himself down as far as his in, you know, involvement and stuff like that, and his big mouth, and the guy knows when a camera is around. That's all I gotta say. It's just really, he drives me nuts. However, that being said, the matchup I think is probably one of the better ones. I mean, you look at the defense on both of those teams; those are pretty good defenses. And when you look at the offense, I think the experience factor goes to the Ravens, and the fact that the Ravens won the Super Bowl wouldn't surprise me, but they would probably do it offensively because of the experience on the offense. But Colin Kaepernick has thrown all expectations out of the window when it comes to the play of the team and what they're doing. So yeah, who knows?
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at the comparisons on the matchups, I mean, they're almost identical. I mean, Baltimore had a 10-6 record, San Francisco an 11-4 record.
Yep.
Points scored, Baltimore had 398 points scored. San Francisco had 397 points scored. A little bit different on points allowed. Baltimore allowed 344 to San Francisco's 273. Pretty much, it's a great matchup. You're right. It's going to be an exciting game. And Kaepernick, as you said, to me, he's the X factor in this one. The kid can do a lot of stuff. I mean, and he can run. I mean, that 56-yard run he pulled off was the last week or the week before. I mean, that was just great.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. You know, as far as the game is concerned, I like the feel of the game, and that's a weird thing to say, but you know, a lot of people aren't going to watch this game because it's not the Patriots, it's not Denver. I don't think the NFL got the game they wanted, more so than anything. However, they wanted Green Bay and New England. That's gonna be the draw. But now you got San Francisco and the Ravens. I think the NFL is probably gonna be disappointed as far as the ratings are concerned. But as far as the game is concerned, I think it's gonna be one of the closer ones, I think, that we saw in a long time. I think we're gonna come down to the final drive of the game in order to figure out who's gonna win it.
Sonny, do you really believe it's gonna be a ratings issue? This is a Super Bowl. I've never, ever heard of that actually coming into play as far as the NFL was concerned. There's always
I think the ratings go down in this one.
In the NBA. I'm sorry?
I do. I think the ratings go down in this game. More than the fact is because of, you know, the teams. They're not the marquee teams in the NFL. Now, if this was back in the 90s, we would be talking about the 49ers, but really, for the last 10 years, the 49ers have been really irrelevant in the NFL. So the fan base that's going to be there is usually the hardcore, but the teams that are the norm, I mean, the Patriots would be a team. The Broncos, because of Peyton Manning, a lot of people would be looking at that game. The Green Bay Packers, one of the teams that has been expected to make that step into the Super Bowl and win again since they won it last time. I just think that the matchup, like I said, I think it's good, but I think the ratings will be down this year. I really do. I think it's the fact that the teams that are playing are not the quote unquote, you know, epic teams, the iconic football teams in the NFL.
Well, okay, fair enough, Sonny. I don't know if it's going to be an issue, and I would hasten to say that I don't think so. I understand what you're saying, Sonny, but this is a Super Bowl. There's never been a question of the ratings, so I will be paying attention to that. I will be taking the contrarian side, and the big dog is so fond of saying that we are balanced here on NBB Media. Hey, guys, if we remember this, if you have to tell someone that you are fair and balanced, whatever. Thank you, Fox News.
Mm-hmm. Now, hey, I just put my picture up on your timeline there, scorekeeper. Mine loaded just fine. And my God, was I. I know, and I was skinny. My God, I was skinny as a rail. Look at that. How did I even breathe?
Wow. Yeah,
I see that too. Wow, Sonny.
Yeah. Now, get this, guys. Saul is saying in the background, of course, in the chat room, he says it will be a boring game, of course, and that San Francisco will tank and the Ravens will run away with it. Want to welcome the next best team in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. If you have a program on Blog Talk Radio, just go ahead and put it in the chat room, and we'll give you some play on it, man. All right. Well, anyway, Big Dog, where else do you want to take us now? Or Sonny, was there any other comments?
Well, what team are you picking? You never gave your pick.
Oh, Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
I haven't decided yet.
In a big win, or will it be a close game? In your opinion.
It's a Super Bowl, dude. I'm watching the commercials. So if there's a good game, that means there's more commercials in there. Remember that. Remember that.
You're just waiting for the GoDaddy commercial, I know.
No, I'm waiting for
he wants
Doritos
to see the new Doritos commercial.
That's right. You got me. That's right. I'm waiting for the Doritos. And speaking of such, I want to thank the Couch Potato, ladies and gentlemen, because he was able to get this for me because I was too damn lazy. I want to take a quick 31-second commercial break. Hold on.
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby!
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Thank you, Couch Potato.
You know, when I first saw the commercial, I kind of wondered, I go, I wonder how long it took him to pick up Abe Vigoda off the floor, because he's like, I don't know, like 140.
And, you know, it's funny, because people don't remember that, but Abe Vigoda is in there, too, and that's the fact that people don't, the younger generation, they have an idea who Betty White is, but they have no idea who Abe Vigoda is. I'm like, oh, my
fish.
God.
Yep, fish from Marty Miller. That was a funny show.
I have all of the episodes of Barney Miller. God, I admitted that out loud. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It just means that you're better off than we are. That's all.
Oh, I dig the tune, the Barney Miller. Matter of fact, I had it on the Couch Potato Sports Show as our intro at one point, the Barney Miller song. It's cool. So it's cool tune. I like it.
Yes, I do remember that. I definitely do remember that. It's good stuff there, dude.
All righty. Well, Super Bowl will be at, of course, Sunday, February 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:30 Pacific Time. I guess that would be, 5:30 couch time?
Yeah.
5:30 couch time. That's funny.
So I guess, you know, we'll be having our, we'll talk about it a little bit more in-depth next week. It'll be the day before the Super Bowl. And scorekeeper will give his expert analysis on it.
Baltimore. That was a preview to my expert analysis, ladies and gentlemen. Baltimore.
Deep. Baltimore.
And the question in the
last... Well, you've been kind of riding the Baltimore bandwagon, I think, a little bit there, scorekeeper.
No, I'm riding the Joe Flacco bandwagon.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I should not be considered a top three. I am a top three quarterback. That's like
Jeff
Ryan Lee
Jones.
Saying,
hey,
once
he's
I get out of jail.
Jones, though, right?
What?
It takes stones to say something like that when you've got, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and that's just five. I mean, I could go on. I mean, so it takes stones to come out and say something like that, I think.
Yeah, and guess what? He's in the Super Bowl.
Yep, right now. Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, speaking of quarterbacks, one article that I saw that I really laughed at, and I know – scorekeeper will get a chuckle at this one. Trying to make his return back to the NFL since 2009, former number one.
Oh, yes!
Jamarcus Russell is going to be trying to make his comeback next season. I don't know who with, but keep him away from the
IFL.
Is the IFL he's going to be going to?
The IFL. Why not? I mean, geez, what else is he doing?
Drinking,
well, Sonny,
codeine and grape juice, whatever it is, the codeine.
You see, look, here's the problem.
And just to give you a little fill-in, just to kind of give you an underscore, I'm not really supposed to say it, but he didn't say I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. So the people who listen to this show, they'll get an idea. As far as the Texas Revolution, they're going after one former Dallas Cowboy and Stephen McGee. They're trying to get him signed. So not if anybody's ever heard of him, but there you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, they may be going after Jamarcus Russell. You never know. I mean,
you never know.
Apparently, he's run through his $38 million already. Wow. So he needs another job. Unbelievable.
And someone out there probably is going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, that will be interesting. By the way, I don't think it's going to happen on the Stephen McGee because I just happened to put him in as a search, and Houston's actually looking to sign him and get him. Just to let you know.
I was just going to put it. Saul put in the chat room that Vince Young is also trying to make a comeback also.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Young?
Yep.
Yep.
Is that the guy that went to Minnesota?
Texas.
Oh,
Texas. Vince Young, I mean, he was a Tennessee Titan, then he went to Buffalo.
Oh, he went to Buffalo. Okay, yeah. I was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Minnesota, same.
Well, look, if they're going to make their comeback, once Ryan Leaf gets out of his hard prison time, I'm sure he's going to try to make a comeback, too.
Oh, yeah, man. That is absolutely crazy, scorekeeper.
You heard about it this week, right? 10 years?
Yeah, and, you know, the more I think about it, because, man, I said, give me Ryan Leaf instead of Peyton Manning. And that's one crow that is so big, I just can't even digest it. It is so bad. And this guy has taken a left turn that has been probably one of the most, you know, crash and burns in the NFL. That it's unbelievable.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that know and don't know, this is very recent, happened on January 17th. Former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf has been moved from a drug treatment center to the Montana State Prison for threatening a staff member and violating his treatment plan, a corrections official said Thursday. The former San Diego Chargers and Washington State Cougars quarterback was charged last spring with breaking into two houses, which was reported here on NDB Media, and stealing prescription painkillers near his hometown of Great Falls. He pleaded guilty in May to burglary and criminal possession of dangerous drugs, and his 5-year sentence called for spending 9 months in a locked drug treatment facility as an alternative to prison. Well, it didn't work, ladies and gentlemen. He threatened a worker there, and he's now gone for 10 years, right?
Don't drop the soap.
Wow.
So that means you'll be there for at least three and a third. You have to serve two-thirds of your time. So you'll be there for a little over 6.5 years.
He might have cost one of those guys who watches them some money in a bet, and he just egged them on and just to get them into further trouble. So you bitch made me lose $200 in that game, so I'll make you suffer.
Now, of course, it does say Leaf was the number 2 pick in the 1998 NFL draft, but his short-lived pro career earned him the reputation as one of the biggest busts in NFL history.
No, the biggest bust. I don't know, him or Jamarcus Russell. I don't know, who's the biggest bust of all time?
Oh, it's got to be Marcus Russell because of the money involved.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, for me, it still is Ryan Leaf because he was the second pick. That's the biggest bust. And ladies and gentlemen, there it is. We're down to 90 seconds. Sonny, why don't you give us a splattering of what's coming up next on the Couch Potato Sports Show?
Oh, I'm just doing a recap of the two high school basketball games I did, and then tomorrow morning, that being said, at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time.
All right, Big Dog, when are you on next?
I'm hoping to be on Monday night.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
There's good stuff. Big news happening in the NDB empire. Yes, it looks like NDB Media Prime, unbelievably, a new channel will be coming into existence. So we're going to be heralding a lot more stuff over on that channel. We're going to see what's going to happen, but news is on its way. And it looks like NDB Media Prime will be the home for some big, big interviews that are being set up in the next few weeks. So just want to give you a heads up on that, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see what's going to happen. Want to thank Coffee, Laker fan Matt Alvarez, Saul Walters, Couch Potato, Tim McLeod, Bright Brian, and everyone else who's joining us both live and in the archive. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great, great Saturday morning. I got to finish cleaning up my office, and I got through most of it. I'm really happy. I'm going to have before and after pictures. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, we are out of here. Big dog.
Before we go, I just want to say, you know, maybe we try and schedule our joke night a little bit more in advance. Maybe we can get Sonny to come on. I was hoping he'd be on this week. Didn't quite make it on, but I think he would have had a great time.
Yeah, I actually downloaded the show. I haven't listened to it, but I was actually, when they set it up for Tuesday, I didn't realize I had a basketball game to call.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely rated maggot.
Well, you know what? It was rated maggot, but it just had its maggot part. AJ came to play. I mean, not like that other time when he just blew us all away. But AJ won the night. There's no doubt about it. But I think this was tame AJ Maggot, don't you think, Big Dog?
Yeah, he toned it down a little bit. You know?
Yeah, he toned it down. Some of the people that don't talk to him or listen to him were actually giving comments about him being on, which was really surprising. AJ, I love you, dude, but you have alienated some of the NDB Media audience, dude. You have.
Know you're hardcore.
He has alienated our listeners because some of the stuff he says is just way, 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 way beyond.
Yeah, that, you know, and I kind of wonder if he actually knows it's way, way beyond, or if that's just the way it is in Australia. I'm just wondering that one particular part.
It wasn't one particular joke. But anyway, we love you, AJ, and we'll have you back. Yeah, all right, well, we lost the couch potato, so it's just you and me.
I saw it. All right, well, it's been fun. Everybody, enjoy your sports. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. Anybody who's a wrestling fan, enjoy the Royal Rumble. If not, we'll catch you. Catch me on Monday night, or catch Scorekeeper myself next Saturday, and, of course, his show Tuesday night in America on, of course, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time. The longest show on the NDB Media Empire.
And we are one of the longest-running programs on Blog Talk Radio.
Cool. That's great.
Yeah, there aren't very many that have been, and there are very few that can say what we've done, that we have been on every Tuesday for five-plus years now.
Yep. We're going to be entering year 6 very soon.
Four-plus years, because we're in the 5th year. We'll be entering the 6th year. Oh, my God, the September. Jeez. Funny how we're always thinking about it, and then all of a sudden September gets here.
Yeah, and it's true. Time flies, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then November is, of course, the debut for this program. November 1st, the first Saturday. Never forget that. And I won't, Big Dog won't, but everyone else doesn't know about it, but it's okay.
The show that never was,
The show that never was. Actually, it existed in an alternate universe.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Ladies and gentlemen,
I would understand that joke.
Yeah, a lot of you will, but we haven't alienated. All right, Big Dog, any last words?
Nope. Just take care of yourself and say hi to the family, and it sounds like you're over your cold.
It's funny. I'm over the nasty part, but now I have just a genuine simple cold, and we'll see how that goes. And plus, since I'm cleaning up my office, I am having some nasal issues.
So,
just real quick, since I've, you know, noticed your pictures on Facebook, what happened to Mittens?
Oh, still here. Still here.
So you have a second cat now?
Dude, there's like three cats now and that come over here.
Ah, Mittens has been spreading the word, huh?
Well, you know what? They're just no cats. I mean, there are a lot of people that are just letting their cats go and they don't have money to feed them, big dogs.
Yeah, I know.
And it's really sad, and these cats have found a, well, my wife, she's like my grandma, you know. She may not be happy with animals and stuff, but she can't let them see, you know, she can't, no. She feeds them. And we have a black cat in the backyard. We have Cobalt. Oh, my God, big dog. That cat stood by me for about 10 minutes without moving.
Really?
And we were right there on the porch. Well, you saw it was leaning against me. And we were just, like,
yeah,
watching the rain and just seeing it. And I could, it was funny. I didn't want to move because the cat just stood right next to me. It would look up every little while, but it's like it knew what I was doing, and it was just sitting there for 10 minutes with me as I was looking out at the rain. That was crazy. I thought I had to take a picture of it. I'm like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's just surprising because you've never seen like a a cat guy. You seem more of a dog person, but you genuinely
I am more of a dog person, but these cats, man, they're just giving so much love, and you feed them just a few scraps. That cat Cobalt, I'm not going to even get into the financial issues, but let's put it this way. My wife fed Cobalt bread, and the cat ate it. We're like, whoa. I mean, that cat was so freaking hungry, the dog, that the cat ate bread.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, well, you know, when they're hungry, they put some sort of food in, you know, in front of them. They'll eat it.
Yeah, but I didn't know they would eat bread. I've never seen a cat eat bread. And you know what? They did. That freaking cat won our hearts because we've known of it for months. Because when Mittens came over, we started leaving milk outside, and we knew Mittens would have a tiny, tiny little cat, wouldn't finish the milk. But we'd get there in the morning, the milk was gone. So we're like, there must be another cat. And within a few weeks, we saw another one, and it was like a feral cat. It would see us, and it would run. And my daughter saw it, and it would stop, and she reached out. She had something in her hand, and the cat came up to her, took it out of her hand, and we can't get rid of the bastard now.
Hey, Rod, unfortunately, I do have to go. I'm getting called right now, so I'm going to have to cut this short. Sorry.
See you, big dog.
All right, later.
The program doesn't want to end. Why does it not want to end? Oh, there it is. Good night.